Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 49. Salt and fire. Part 1. Now this text, Mark 9:49, has been said about it that it is the most difficult text in the New Testament. And I'm not going to disagree with that. I find it very difficult indeed. All I can do is offer a few rambling thoughts on it. There is some difficulty with the manuscript, but the main difficulty for me, anyway, and I think for others, is the opening word. Now, my version omits the opening word. The opening word should be for. For everyone will be salted with fire. Now, the word for, and it's there, shows there's a link with this text, with what's gone before. Now, the question is, where and what is that link? Is it the immediate context, verse 47, 48, the fire of hell and so on? Or is there a link going further back? Now, I think it goes back to verse 33. In other words, the entire discourse from 33 to 50 leads up to this climax. It's not hellfire. It's for everyone will be salted with fire. I think this verse, and leading on to verse 50, marks the end of the discourse. And so, what is the main point of the discourse? Well, I think from 33 to 50, we can really say the main point of the discourse is the personal sanctification, the godliness, the progressive sanctification of the child of God, my daily living as a believer. And it's worked out in several details. If you remember, we've looked at them, say verse 35. Don't try to be the greatest. Don't try to be the biggest. Don't try to be the most important. Verse 37, don't cultivate that culture now of greatness and importance, superstars. No, we don't go for that. Well, we shouldn't do, but evangelical world is riddled with it. The littleness, the smallness of our work for Christ, and we should be content with that, verse 37. Don't interfere with other people who are laboring, 39 to 40. Verse 41, God sees every act that you do, brother and sister, however small it is, even a cup of cold water. And there is a rewarding day coming, verse 41. Then again, there is the lifestyle, the effect on others. Does my life scandalize others? Verse 42. What do I mean by that? Or what does Christ mean by that? Does my life lead others into sin? Verse 43. What about my own sin? Well, cut it off. Stop it. This is what the Bible says here, what Christ says here. And gathering all this together, for everyone will be salted with fire. Now, that's the connection, but it doesn't mean that the difficulties have gone away. As J.C. Ryle said, he would never sort it out in this life, and I don't think I shall. I'm only offering a few rambling remarks. I don't think we're talking about eternal punishment here. I don't think so. I think it's all based on an illustration of salt and fire. Now, I've got to ask the question now, well, what is the illustration of salt, and what is the illustration of fire? Well, the salt is easy, is it not, or relatively easy? I think of two things about salt. One is, it makes for taste. Something tasteless, insipid. Salt can bring out the taste, but it also preserves. Now, I know we live in the days of deep freezers and fridges and all the rest of it, but way back, brine, salt, this preserved meat through the winter, bacon, ham, pork, and all the rest of it, cured kippers and so on. Salt had to be rubbed in, soaked in, and that preserved it. And as Christ says, verse 50, salt is good, kalon. That means it's suitable, it's excellent, it's adapted to its purpose, and it's a preservative. And it also is a giver of taste. But it has to be in the right amount, of course. I know somebody who was making little cakes called coffee balls, coffee kisses. But mixing up the salt and the sugar, putting in the wrong amounts of each, they turned out to be not coffee kisses, but salt balls, we called them. No, The seasoning and the preservation, that's the salt, but it's got to be in the right place. And taste is the thing here. Shall be salted, sprinkled with salt. The sacrifices had to be sprinkled with salt, Leviticus 2:13. But it's salted with fire. I wonder what this is. Is it the trials of the believer? 2 Corinthians 4:17, 1 Peter 4:12-13, these fiery trials, purging out our sins. Everything to purge us and make us sanctified. Everyone. We all have to face this. So taste, preservative, purging. I knew somebody who brought a dish to the table, said, I haven't tasted it when she cooked it. Well, that's a bad confession. A cook should be able to taste it and know the taste. It's add salt and pepper to taste. And what do you got to taste it then? And in the context, therefore, I think what we're seeing here, and I'll bring this to a close now, is my life, my words, my actions, my habits, my service, my family, my church life, my private life. It's got to be all tested and tasted and preserved and purged and so on. And these trials and difficulties that come, they purify me. And this is the work that's going on here. It's a salty sacrifice to Christ, a tasty sacrifice to Christ, a preservative. This is what is going on here. I know I'm not making much headway with this text. I confess my difficulties to start with, but I think it's the sanctification of my life. I want it to be a salty life, a preserved life, a tasty life. I want it to be a purified life, for everything will be salted with fire. That's how I read this. And we'll continue in the next discourse to see how we should proceed. This is a word for believers, but unbeliever, you can see, as I've said before in these discourses, if all this is being said to the children of God, then you can see that sin is not a joke and it has to be dealt with. You need to be put right with Christ, with God, and only Christ can do that. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and only he can bring salvation. But having trusted Christ, then we've got to be salted with fire, and it will be so. So may we be purified, purged, and tasty Christians for the glory of Christ. Amen.